Praise God. It's good to see you back here. Let's give a big hand clap to Teddy. Yeah, those of you who came in late, you don't know what you missed. It was wonderful. Okay. I'm going to tell Juliana, Teddy to have, to start, having hard days for the song selection and leading on Sunday. Glory be to God. Amen. People are gifted, eh? Yeah. Of course, there's a gift, but now there's also the what? The spirit of worship in LAT, eh? Which is helping the gifts, eh? All right? So, yeah. Glory be to God. Man, you guys missed. I'm telling you the truth. If you came in late, eh? Okay, from the first song. Hallelujah. Yeah, this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Yeah, we are continuing our Bible studies using Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest. Today we shall read from page 72. And remember, our page one is the copyright information page. All right? And the topic today is going to be changing hearts and lives. All right? Changing hearts and lives is what this topic will be called. But before we go there, just a little recap from last week's teaching, which we called the Holy Spirit and power. So we learned that the power of God, just like any other power, can corrupt us. All right? Something good from heaven can corrupt us human beings. For that matter, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us in the proper use of God's power. All right? Power of any kind. Okay, it could be power as demonstrated by the gifts of the Spirit. It could be wealth from heaven. Okay? It could be influence. It could be just positions of authority. Okay, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us in the proper use of that power. Otherwise, we shall be corrupted. So, knowing that we need the Holy Spirit to help us in that regard, it means that the more control the Spirit has over us, the better off we are. All right? Okay, the better off we are. Therefore, we need to be filled by Him, by the Spirit. And the analogy we gave, and also which Paul used in Ephesians chapter 5, is being filled with the Spirit, being drunk with the Holy Ghost. All right? Because when you're drunk with something, basically, it takes total control over you. So if we get drunk by the Spirit, if we get filled with the Spirit, then He will have, control over our lives, and therefore we shall not be corrupted by power, because everything that we do with the power of God will be as the Spirit would want. You understand? It is very clear. So we get filled with the Holy Spirit when we speak in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, when we sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord, and also when we give thanks to God in the name of Christ Jesus for all things. Amen? The more you do that, the more you will be filled with the Spirit, the more you will be drunk with Him, and the more He will have control over our lives. And, so He will be able to lead us in the proper use of power so that we don't get corrupted. Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah, that is that. So, today, the topic is changing hearts and lives. Glory be to God. Changing hearts and lives. All right? Let's open Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You know the scripture, but we shall read it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus said, and he's telling us that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Salt, we all know, it preserves. Okay? So as Christians, we're supposed to preserve, all right, the earth. Okay? Then in verse 14 it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. All right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. I'm reading these verses not in the order that I thought I would follow, but we shall see. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. From verse 14 it says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Hallelujah. So, he says, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Okay, you remember? Jesus said, let your light so shine before men, okay, that they may see your good works. And Paul had to agree with the Lord. Okay? He says that you are to shine as lights in the world, okay, in this perverse and crooked generation. Glory be to God. The more you read the episodes, the more you understand that what we read some time ago in the final quest where Paul was saying that Jesus' words are more important, okay, and he said he simply elaborated on them. And he say that Jesus' words, as written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the foundation. Okay, the more you, when you have that mindset, when you start to read Paul's letters, you actually realize that almost everything is in the gospel. You know, some of the things, of course, they are said in other words. You know, now like this verse here. Okay? Yeah, lights in the world. Okay? That is essentially Matthew 5. You know, if I get drunk with the Spirit and he leads me, I one day do what? Like, get into the episodes of Paul and start reading verse by verse as I see where that same stuff is taught in the Gospels, and I write it, along there, But anyway, God is good. So, changing what? Changing lives and hearts. All right? You know, yeah, as Christians, as the church, our calling is to be the light, to be the salt. This world is fallen. You all know that, okay? If you don't know that it is fallen, at least you know from, you can tell from your life. Glory be to God. The evidence is what? Is your life. Okay, if it is not your life, okay, at least you can look at me. Okay? The evidence is my life. It's a fallen world. Alright? That's why there are all these things, wars, famine, corruption, theft, all sin. Okay, the world is fallen. And as a church, we're supposed to be the light, and we're supposed to be the salt. Glory be to God. Someone said that the heart of the human problems is the problem of the human heart. Okay? As in the heart, as in the real cause, okay, of the world's problems, okay, is people's hearts. That's the main thing. Everything starts from the heart. Okay, so if we're going to change lives, all right, change lives and, change the world for good, basically, you have to go for hearts. If you change someone's heart for good, you understand, you have solved problems. All right? Most of these things that we study and we do, our work, how to solve this, what, human rights, okay? The reason why those things are not working, okay, is because hearts haven't been changed. You can't get a guy to do this and this and this, right things, if the heart is not changed. All right? He might endeavor to obey because of the fear of punishment, okay? But give him, an opportunity. You understand, All these societies like America, the UK, you see how guys obey traffic rules. They stop when it turns orange, people stop, you understand? When it turns red, they will stop. Then at green, they move. Okay? So you think guys are what? Wonderful. Hey, man, these whites are good. Man, just give them an opportunity. Let power go off. You see. You understand? And of course they fear to even, because there are cameras. You understand? But sometimes they want to run the what? They read about cameras. So you can see, You can see now their hearts are not really changed. It is a fear of punishment. Okay? But given an opportunity, they will show you their true colors. Glory be to God. So anyway, if we're going to change the world, if we're going to change lives for good, people's hearts need to be changed. Glory be to God. Proverbs. Now I've gone back to the scripture I was supposed to start with. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Okay? The issues of life, where do they spring from? From the heart. You want to change lives? Okay, as a church, we want to change lives, of people who come in, our lives also, to change their lives in Kampala, for good. Okay. You can make laws, you can make seminars, and teach people how to live right, okay? But if you don't change hearts, okay, your solution is a temporary thing. Glory be to God. So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Okay? Issues of life are from the heart. Okay? Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Mark 7, from verse 21, this is with Jesus speaking. He says, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye. Okay? Yeah, I was going to ask you what an evil eye means, eh? But that will be for another day. Blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Okay? Come from within. Eh? And verse 21, okay? He told us that within, okay, means the heart. All right? Verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Okay? They're all from what? The heart. So, if you want to change lives, okay, primarily, okay, we have to change what? Hearts. Glory be to God. Hearts. Okay? We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Yeah? Alright? Okay? You get it? Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Okay, so you say, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his what? To his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Eh? Okay? Again, you see, eh? All these things, okay, which the Lord rewards or punishes are from the what? Are from the heart. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Yes, for the benefit of one of us who has just come late, we are talking about changing lives. Eh? All right? Changing lives. And lives can only be changed if hearts are changed. Eh? Because Proverbs chapter 4:23 says, out of the heart spring the issues of life. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, he said that all evil things come from within. Eh? They come from the heart. Okay? And Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then it says that the Lord searches the heart, eh? Okay, to give every man according to his ways. Glory be to God. Amen? Yes. So, now, let's open James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I hope you know that James is supposed to be Jacob. Do you read your vernacular Bible? The Luganda Bible, okay? It is Yakobo. James is Yakobo. And Yakobo is Jacob. Okay? The Hebrew, whatever, you know, Yaakov. Something like that. Anyway, it's supposed to be what? Jacob. How it became James, that's another what? Story. But human beings are the one what? Who did this. Glory be to God. Human beings, you know, whites. Okay? I think they wanted to honor King James, so they twist what? And see, human beings are brave, man. You really change something. From Jacob to James. Centuries have gone and centuries have what? They have come and gone and, you know. And so, James chapter 4. Or Jacob. Jacob chapter 4. Jacob chapter 4. Denise is laughing. Give her a big hand clap. Okay? Give Denise a big hand. Okay? How many of you have seen her laugh, like in church? Yeah? Really? Yeah, so, yeah, that's why, yeah. So you should give a big hand. So, Jacob chapter 4, verse 1, it says that, where do wars and fights come from among you? Where do wars and fights come from? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Okay, so he said that wars and fights, they come from within. All wars, World War One, World War Two, all right? Your wars in your country, you understand? Wars in your village. Okay, it's just human beings, they're from within. Okay, so how can you solve this war thing? Okay, though of course it can never be solved, but wars will only cease when men's hearts are changed. Okay, and it will take the Lord, the second coming of the Lord. Okay, so you say, where do wars and fights come from? In your families, siblings, anyway. You know, it's from within, okay? Okay? You murder, you covet, you know, you fight and war, okay? Anyway, I just wanted us to see that, okay? Now, let's begin, let's read, because I think you're wondering where, what we're going to read today. So, 71, paragraph 2. As I pondered this, he, talking about Paul, watched me closely. Then he continued, there are two things we attained in our time that were lost very quickly by the church. They have not yet been recovered, but you must recover them. What are they? I inquired, feeling that what he was about to say was more than just an addendum to what he had already shared with me. You must recover, okay, number one, the ministry. Number two, the message, he said emphatically. I looked at the Lord and he nodded. Okay, his affirmation, because Jesus was there also, so Paul and Rick Jr. talking, and Jesus is there also. So Rick Jr. says, I looked at the Lord, and he nodded his affirmation, adding, it's right that Paul should say this to you. Until this time, he has been the most faithful with both of these. Both of these. Which are the both? The what? The message and the ministry. Apparently those things were lost Okay? And they need to be recovered. Okay? The message. Okay? And the ministry. Please explain, I implored Paul. All right, he replied. Except for a few places in the world where there are great persecutions or difficulties, we can hardly recognize either the ministry or the message that is being preached today. Many things are sad. Sermons are going on every Sunday. Okay? There are midday services. There are television stations, you know, broadcasting every hour, you understand? And now these guys in heaven are saying, okay, we can hardly recognize the ministry or the message that is being preached today. Therefore, the church is now but a phantom of what it was even in our time. And we were far from all we are called to be. When we served, being in ministry was the greatest sacrifice that one could make. And this reflected the message of the greatest sacrifice that was made, the cross. Then you continue and says, the cross is the power of God, and it is the center of all we are called to live by. You now have so little power to transform the minds and hearts. Okay? We have come to what we're talking about today, changing lives and hearts. So he says that you now have so little power to transform the minds and hearts of believers because you do not live or preach the cross. All right? So little power to change what? Hearts. Okay? Remember, we have said the cause, the root of all human problems is the heart of man. All right? Jeremiah said, the heart is what? Wicked. You know, above all things. That's what he said. Okay? Jesus said, that out of the heart spring all evil. All evil. Alright? They are from what? The heart. What human beings do, the evil they do, the wars they cause, okay, the thefts, the robberies, the lying, the everything, it's all from the heart. Okay? Solomon said, you know, in Proverbs 4:23, that out of the heart spring the issues of life. Everything in life starts from the what? It comes from the heart. Okay? So if we're going to change people for good, okay, if we're going to change society, okay, the key thing to deal with is the heart. Laws, seminars to teach men how not to beat their wives. Okay, not to rape young girls. Young girls also to dress decently so that they don't give rapists ideas. You understand? The rapists and the girls, we all have to deal with hearts, man. You understand? Okay? You see? So, and all those things, dressing indecently is from the heart. Okay? Raping is from the heart. Okay? So we need to what? If we are to change lives, okay, change societies for good, the key thing, and it is only the church by the way which can do it. Okay, laws can't do it, you understand? The UN can't, human rights organizations can't, anti-corruption agencies, they can't. Okay? It is you, Bridget, It is you, Flora, Denise. It is only you. You know, it is only you. Kihembo, you know, it is only you. Hearts, changing hearts. Have you ever heard Museveni talking about changing hearts?
For him, his role is to what? Deal with what? The actions. That is where he comes in. He comes in after something has been what done, and then he deals with what? The culprits. You understand? That's his calling. His calling is not to change hearts. Glory be to God. Okay? His calling is to scare. Okay? You understand? To scare so that, you know, people want to do bad, don't. And then when they do it, is to come after them. Okay? Romans 13 says that the king does not whatever the sword in vain. You remember? So we have seen hearts have to be changed. Now, here, heaven is telling us that we who are supposed to change hearts, we can't do it. It says that you now have so little power to transform the minds and hearts of believers. Now, he has even first left what? Non-believers. Now, the focus is now on us. Maybe now he's talking to pastors. He's saying, you pastors, you prophets, you whoever, okay? You have so little power. Your words, you're just speaking empty words, words devoid of power to transform hearts. All right? Why? Because you pastors do not live or preach the cross. All right? But it is not only us, what? Pastors. It is also the body of Christ, the church. Because you, the someone you talk to, the someone you're supposed to influence. You understand? Okay? And in that sense, he's saying, you have little power to transform their hearts. Okay? Why? Because you don't preach or even live the cross. Because prior to that, he told us that that the message, of the cross, the message of the greatest sacrifice that was made is a cross. Anyway, let's see what that means, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Do you want to change lives? For me, man, now, like as a pastor, I would want to change lives, man. Okay? I would want to change, people's poverty. Okay? Because poverty is not a good thing. To change it into what? Prosperity. I want to change people who don't love God, change their hearts, to loving God. Okay? Then I don't have to fight with guys every Sunday to come on time. All right. Maybe the reason why you guys don't come on time to church on Sundays because the pastor has no power to transform what their hearts to love God. I don't know. Okay. So yeah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. Okay. Paul, basically Paul told Regina exactly what he wrote. He tells him that for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You understand? So if we need power to transform lives, to change hearts, okay, we need what? The message of the cross. All right? Because it says, that it is a power of God. You understand? It is a power of God. The cross. And what does it mean anyway to what? To preach the cross or to live by the cross? It basically means, what a cross was for. Okay? The cross was for dying. It was, you remember, Jesus was crucified on the cross. He died on the cross. Okay? So, when it says living by the cross, it basically means, or preaching the message of the cross, it basically means us dying to ourselves and living to the will of God. Okay? And death, the death of Jesus was a sacrifice. So it means also us, we have to live a life of what? Of sacrifice. All right? Where it is not us who come first, but it is the Lord. First and foremost, the will of God. Okay? And when the will of God is contrary to what we want to do, then we sacrifice what we want to do, and we live for God. Glory be to God. Now, someone who lives like that, where they live first and foremost for the Lord, where their lives are a living sacrifice, okay, those people will have power to transform what? Lives, to change hearts of people. You understand? Because their words, okay, will not be hypocritical. You understand? Their words will carry the transforming power, because, you know, they are living what they are preaching. Glory be to God. Amen. This is why, you know, ministries, what people are there playing money on their own, like churches, you know, money, people, you have to come up with all, you know, tricks to get people to give money. One of the reasons is that those preachers and ministries, they themselves are not givers. Do you understand? So if you're not a giver, you cannot give birth to givers. You can't. Okay? And to get people to give, you have to, you understand, to do all funny things. Do you understand? So those pastors, preachers, whatever, they don't have power to transform stingy people into givers. You understand? Because they themselves don't live a life of sacrifice as far as finances are concerned. They don't live a life of giving. Okay? You see what I mean? So, they don't have the power to transform lives in that area. Do you understand? You get it? Okay. Now, look at you, which hearts do you want to change? Your sister, your brother, any, whatever, your workmate, you know, your father, your mother, you know, okay? Maybe it could start by living a life of sacrifice in that area in which you want them to change. So that when you speak to them about that thing, you understand, it carries power. Okay? But of course, God is not saying that you change every life, because even Jesus himself, or God himself, their hearts, he hasn't been able to change, because there's also the other aspect now of the will. Human beings have their will. You understand? But at least you have done what? Your part. There's someone who was sharing with me a dream of a certain lady. There's this couple. Okay? There's a couple. Okay? Married. So the husband goes to Zoe. Alright? And he has been warned. People have had dreams. The wife has had dreams telling him, man, leave that place. But the guy has what? Man, the guy has, people were not in the house. Other people have had dreams, Okay? So, a few days ago, the wife had another
We dream. Eh?
Okay? They're not in reality. So these dreams are not only like in reality. People out there are dreaming them. Okay? But some people are want to deceive people that it is only LAT which is having them. So LAT is fake. Eh? There's a devil in LAT, you know. Eh? Yeah. But people out there. And so, recently, a few days ago, the wife had a dream. Okay? When, the guy was walking like towards death. Do you understand? Eh? And in his heart, he had made up his mind. Okay? All right? And I think they tried to, but the girl was safe for me, I'm going to what? You know, eh? And now, so the wife gets out of the dream and says, he's going, you know, eh? And of course, you can see God depicted it as death. You understand? Eh? And again, it was Uzowe. You understand? Eh? Okay? So God will say this thing is serious. People are going to die. Eh? You know, eh? And most probably, in the dream, I think it meant spiritual death. Eh? Meaning that guys are going to depart from the Lord. Eh? The cause of this is taking people. No, but the guy was what? He had made it. So, of course, the wife has been praying for the guy, for you understand? Eh? But there's something called human will, which God cannot even what? Violate. God cannot force people. Man, I felt sorry for what? This lady. Can you imagine being there and you're like, man, my husband might go to hell. You know, eh? I'm sure it even can mess up a relationship, eh? A marriage. And this thing of just stop going there, you know, eh? And the guys say, you guys, you know, eh? Okay, so anyway, what I'm trying to show, to illustrate is that you're not going to change everyone, eh? Because there are those who, you know, I've made up my, my mind is made up. Made up. You say things, you will pray, you will fast. People say, you know, the best God can do with your prayers and fasting and your words is to bring influence over an individual. Angels come to influence them towards God, to make the right what? The choices. That is the best. The Holy Spirit will come and he will convict the person. Eh? All right? But forcing them to change, that ain't going to happen. Hallelujah. That is the beauty of God. Though, of course, when you see maybe someone that you love, man, going astray, I think you're like, no, that is not the beauty of God. Why doesn't God... Well, you know, the will, we all have, you know, you can choose what you want to do. All right? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, you're there. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Glory be to God. You want power to transform lives, to change lives, to transform hearts? The cross. Glory be to God. The cross. The cross. The message of dying to self. The message of sacrifice. And that's why he's saying in heaven, they don't see it. They're not seeing people sacrificing, living for, you know, he says that, you know, we should live for him who died for us. Okay? They're not seeing that. People are not living for God. They're not dying to self to live for the Lord. Eh? People are living for their own things. You know, masters. So people don't ask the will of God about going back to school. You know, eh? So they are not ready to sacrifice their 2 years masters, you know. God's saying, can you give me those 2 years? Eh? Just do for me something. People don't even inquire. Everyone is living what? for themselves. People get money, it is their money, no sacrifice. You know, time, you know, it is our time, you know, no one touches their time. Glory be to God. Okay? I tell people at times, okay, not many people, but I've told a few people, that the day, and that day is not in the distant future, the day LAT will start having, will be having a lot of money when we have grown, and we have, you know, when the church won't only have what? Bridget, the only rich what? Person. When we shall have others, other rich people. Having Bridget alone. When we shall have more what? Bridgets, More teddies, Rich, Alright? So we shall be getting more money as a church. I tell people every time that the day that, when that day comes, Of course, we shall grow. We shall have departments, We shall employ some people, And of course, you have to pay them monthly, So, there's someone I was saying, I told, that when it comes to Rachel's salary, all these people guys will be there in that department to decide someone should earn this, I'm like, Rachel's salary, it will be me. Glory be to God. Then I'll give her all the areas, NSSF. You understand? I'm telling you, Rachel, because, man, the things Rachel has sacrificed, you understand? Rachel was supposed to have a job in a bank. You understand? She let go of all those things. Why I hear the Lord said anything? Do you understand? A life of what? Sacrifice. And that life has to be rewarded. Glory be to God. I'm telling you, Rachel, how much Rachel will be earning to be, you understand? Anyone wants to bring Rugezi, you just throw them out of church. Not out of church, but out of that what? Committee, department. Do you know where, you are not there when Rachel, the things she has sacrificed. Actually, to Rugezi, what? I did accounts, I did human resource, this is how salaries are decided, you first see how much work, that stuff. That stuff will work on other people, other employees, but not Rachel. Glory be to God. People are there getting NSSF every month. Rachel, zero. You understand? Why? Sacrificing. Why? Because she knows it is the will of God. All right? So anyway, we have little power or no power at all to transform hearts. Why? Because we are not living the life of the cross. Because remember, the cross is the power of God. The cross, living a life of sacrifice, this way in which you get power. Let's go back to the final question and read this thing again. Now with that, the mindset we have. Gotten, So, back to page 71, is it? Paragraph 2, from the start, It says, Paul told him that there are two things we attained in our time that were lost very quickly by the church. They have not yet been recovered, but you must recover them. What are they, I inquired, feeling that what he was about to say was more than just an addendum to what he had already shared with me. You must recover the ministry and the message. And now you know what the message is. The message of the cross. The message that people have to live a life of sacrifice. The message that God comes first. His will comes first, And in that sense, many of the things that you want to do have to be sacrificed. But Paul is saying, we are not seeing that. We are seeing it only in places where, man, things are tight, the church is being what? persecuted. You know, where there's hardship. That's where we say, but where there's no hardship, where people, life is good, you know, eh? We don't see that. Okay? Like, you know, people, when people come from the villages, eh? Like to visit, eh? You know, Kampala, eh? On Christmas, on those, when they come and get, you know, they get, you know, they get a shocker. See, people don't even greet each other. Villages, everyone who passes, hey, what's up, you understand? You know, villages, a young kid cannot pass an old, you know, so guys come here in Kampala thinking that, what, they're going to get the same treatment. Then kids, you know, you know, those old women and men, man. You know, villages, even poor people in Kampala, kids share beds. You understand? You see? They share beds, but here, man, someone wants, maybe they have come from abroad and they want to stay somewhere. They have one child, okay? Then you have three rooms in your house with three kids, okay? Each kid has their own one. Room, say, there's no space in my house. Because, you know, your kids, you know, they can't share a bed. And the person who's coming, they're not thugs. The kids are nice kids. You understand? Say, woman, no, there's no room in the inn. But most of us grew up, you know, sharing what? All of a sudden these days, man, anyway, even me, I look at some of these things, giving lifts. You're going in the same direction. Same direction. Can you, lifts? When you give someone a lift, they're not even consuming fuel. You understand? But, they show worker. No sacrifice, you understand? So you can see, but sacrifices, you see those things in what? Among poor people, villages. That's where people will, what? Sacrifice for each other. Okay? That's why he says that we don't see that except in places where there are persecutions and hardships. That's where we see a bit of this. Okay? All right? I looked at the Lord and he nodded his affirmation, adding, it's right that Paul should say this to you. Until this time, he has been the most faithful with both of these. Please explain, I implored Paul. All right, he replied. Except for a few places in the world where there are great persecutions or difficulties, we can hardly recognize, okay, the ministry, okay, a ministry of sacrifice, a ministry preaching, dying to self, okay, or the message that is being preached, the message of the cross, okay. Therefore, the church is now but a phantom. Do you know what a phantom is? You know, not the real thing. You know, a ghost, like a real, a shady thing, and not the real one. Okay? When we served, being in the ministry was the greatest sacrifice. You ask Rachel. Do you know how much Rachel got her first month? And I think remember we met with Fiona. Fiona at that time was here. Then I came up with, I myself came up with a figure. So I shared it with Fiona. Fiona was like, wow. Like, first of all, where is that money in LAT? For me, I'm like, it will come. You know, okay. Anyway, so we called her. Then we shared with her. Then even her, she first said, no, I can't take that. What am I being, like, first of all, where is that money going to come from? And anyway, what am I going to be, doing? that requires me. I told her, no. You know, hey, you take this and it will come. And thank God for the last 4 years it has come. Okay? But then it got increased at a certain point. Anyway. All right? But a life of what? A sacrifice. Glory be to God. Okay? All right? When we serve, being in the ministry, now, there are people who are now getting into ministry. You know, no, they're not sacrificing nothing. On the contrary, it is a what? A money, they see it as a money generating venture. You understand? But Paul said, man, for us in our days, it was the greatest sacrifice one could ever make. Because remember, you know, sometimes you are going to be caned. You remember? Persecutions. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about how he was always like nights on the seas, you know, fasting, as in being without food, sleepless days and nights, hunger. Talks about the chiboko, how many times they beat him. 40 minus one canes. You know, and many things. You know, And so those days, anyone, man, you go in the ministry, you're like, man, you might also suffer those things. So, first, think twice. Okay, don't just come running. You think people are going to give you tithes. You know, poor man, things were tight. At a certain point when he was in Corinth, he even had to start doing some part-time job, making tents. Because the Corinthians were like, Tetugenda na kukwasa even anat what? Those guys, man, were what? We're not simple chaps. And Paul's like, said, yeah, but I'm just going to preach to them the gospel. You know, let me what? So that was a life of sacrifice. But now guys are seeing it as a what? A money making thing. Okay? And all of them, God has called them to what? To preach prosperity and giving. All of them. All of them. That even when they talk about what? Living a life of what? Sacrifice. Again, the whole thing is what? Sacrifice your 20K and give it to me. So, you see they are preaching the what? The message of the cross. Dying to self. But you can see for Attilia, motives, selfish, you know. Hallelujah. Okay? When we serve, being in ministry was the greatest sacrifice that one could make. And this reflected the message of the greatest sacrifice that was made. The message of Jesus dying for us. The message of Jesus giving himself as a sacrifice for humanity. Hallelujah. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 says, okay, the cross is the power of God. Okay. It is the power of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I meet people who knew me those days of Zoe. Of course, now I don't meet them anymore. Okay. But those days when I was still in their good books, okay, guys would meet me. Of course, after I left, okay, but I was still in their good books. Guys would meet me. People like Ernest, Danny, the worship guy, you know, those guys, they'll meet me and say, man, thank you so much. You're the one who taught us giving. You know, you could see that guys are so grateful, that now they learn this thing, and apparently it was working for them. You know, So, if that is true, okay, then it's possible that I had the power of God concerning changing hearts, as far as, you know, from poverty to prosperity, from stinginess to giving, you know, to generosity, You know, it seemed like I had that power, Okay? Why? Because in that area, okay, I myself, I was living a life of sacrifice. So my words, okay, concerning that subject, they carried the power to change lives. And I wasn't preaching deep things. I wasn't giving the Greek of tithe, the Greek of giving, the Hebrew. It was just stories. Those things of you stand and say, when I was at the university, okay, one morning, when I was walking out, then I had the audible voice. And the voice told me, if you joyfully obey the laws of giving and receiving, you never what? See financial. Now, guys would thank me. Okay? I remember years ago, I was with, I was with Elvis, and said, man, do you know that man? You have changed those guys. There was a clique which used to go to some church, and that church, the man, concerning giving and anyway, guys had, from the pastor to, because all the pastors in that church, I knew them because I was there like for a year. The pastors were beggars. You understand? And of course they were what? Concerning money, they were also not what? Faithful. So because of that, they were broke, so they were always begging. I'm telling you, a service ends, and then the pastor comes. Immediately the service ends, and they somehow knew which guys had maybe good job, And now from to all, there are few individuals in that church who were not like that. But, and they all hated this thing called what? Messages which talk about giving. They all hated them, but, the pastor, he first comes, asks you, then while you're there, another guy, then, Anyway, it was that bad. Okay? Anyway, so, one day, Elvis was like, man, he told me, man, that you've changed those, you've been preaching at Zoe, you've changed lives. And some of them are the ones who would come to me and say, man, you're blessed. You're the one who taught us to think. In fact, in those days, every time I would feel God was telling me that on that day I was going to preach about giving and prosperity. That day I would deliberately get some money, okay, to give it away before I come. Because I'm like, I'm not going to preach about giving when I'm not, that day, whether now I was doing things in the flesh, I wasn't, but I was like, no, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Of course, no one would know what I'd done an hour or so, before. But I would get either go on my account, withdraw money, give it away, okay? So that now when I stand and I'm talking about giving, I'm not a hypocrite. Glory be to God. Okay? And I think I did so well because years later God is like, write a book. Okay? some of these books have been written again by, people who God hasn't told. But for me, God really told me, write a book on this subject. Why? Because God knew that, what you're going to write, don't care about the English, but it will have my power to what? To change hearts. Because you are living it. You're living a life of sacrifice in that area of what? You remember how my kids were born? God said, he told me he was doing it because, he said that because of the sacrifices you have made. There was that word, sacrifices you have made. By this time you should be having this and this and this, but you don't have it. Why? Because you gave it all away to help, the poor, Okay, and he said, therefore, this is why I'm doing this. A life of what? Sacrifice. A life of what? The cross. Glory be to God. Amen. And Rachel is living what? That life. And she will be rewarded. All her NSSF. She's going to get, whether she gets it in a lump sum at a go. You just get one offering, one date is so big, you just say on Rachel's account. And people say, no, these people are playing money. How do they get all the offer to and give it to one person? You don't know where someone, what? Glory be, it's going to happen. Now, at least I've warned you. Eh? So when it happens, a guy, you know, you're too gamba there. Eh? All right? Okay? You now have so little power to transform minds and hearts of believers because you do not live or preach the cross. Okay? Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Okay? Denying himself means take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Okay? This is what the cross does. You lose your life. And it says if you lose your life, then you will get the power to change lives. Because the cross is a what? The message of the cross is the power of God. All right? So, in my opinion, I believe if you lose your life for the sake of the Lord, okay, I believe he gives you his life. You understand? You die to self and then you live the life of God, the life of the Lord. Okay? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2, 20. No man who knows it by heart. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Okay? You get to die to self, okay? For the sake of the Lord. Okay? You will live his life. He will live through you, It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Okay? Who lives? Christ, not you. Because for you, you've been crucified on the cross. You've died. Okay? Then it says, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay? You lose your life, okay? He gives you his life in return. You understand? And how can the life of God be devoid of power to change lives? You see, So someone who has died to themselves, okay? And they are living for Christ, okay? It means they have so much of the life of God in them that actually their lives, their words, their actions carry transforming power. You understand? Transforming power to change what? People's lives. Because, you know, they are exuding the life of God. Do you understand it? Because they lost their lives. Okay? Now, the life they are living is the life of Christ. Okay? And the life of Christ, it is the power of God. Okay, so when they speak, it is as if Jesus himself is speaking. Glory be to God. When they pray for you, it is as if Jesus is praying for you. You understand? When they declare a thing, it is as if Jesus is declaring it and that thing has to be. Why? Because it is not them. They are so full of the life of God, of the life of Christ. They died. You understand? How did they die? By living a life of sacrifice. Living not for themselves, but for the Lord. Glory be to God. When they come like to lead praise and worship or to preach, you can feel, man, a presence exuding out of their lives. Because they died. Before they came on the pulpit, they had died.
Okay?
They had died, and now it is the life of God.
Okay?
And that life of God, when they speak, you know, Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said that the words that I speak unto you are spirit, and what? And life. The words that I speak unto you, their spirit and life. Okay? So these people who have died, okay, their words, okay, are spirit and life. They are not empty words devoid of what? The power to transform. You know, they're speaking the words of the Lord. Okay? And the words are coming out with the power of the Lord. The power that can change, hearts of men for the good. Glory be to God. And that can happen to all of us. Okay? Because remember, we are the light of the world. We are the salt. Alright? So God wants to use us to change lives. You understand? To change societies. Okay? To change the city. The nation. Okay? And we can only change it for good if we can be able to what? To change people's hearts. Okay? And now he's telling us how we can get power to change hearts. Okay? By living a life of sacrifice. Not living unto ourselves, but living unto the Lord. Dying unto ourselves, okay, that we may live unto the Lord. Okay? He's saying, if we do that, okay, live for the Lord and not for ourselves, okay, then we shall have power to transform lives. You get it? Okay? Isn't this awesome? Man, I would want to have power, man, to change lives. Glory be to God. Especially for the little, the few people God has given me, like in the church. I would want to, to see people's lives getting better, where every time people have something good happening in their lives. I would want to have that power. And God is telling us that, he's telling me that Moses, you can get it, okay, by dying to self. Glory be to God. Just go and die to self. Then when you come, to preach to your congregation, it will not be you speaking. It will be me. When you lay hands on this, on someone who's sick, it will be like I, the Lord, when I walked in Nazareth, okay? Anyway, that's a wonderful life. Hallelujah. Okay, so he says that Paul ends there by saying, you must return to the cross. We must what? Return to the cross. And he's not saying to preach the cross every Sunday, but, okay, where, you tell people that, man, life is not all about you. You're not, remember he said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. It's him first. The kingdom first. Not you first. And say, but don't worry. If you just do that, all these other things will be what? Added unto you. Glory be to God. Amen. But I think in LAT we are doing well. This whole thing of eternal rewards, it is something like that. Something like the cross. God, now you're telling people, man, don't live just like that. Live, the will of God. Okay? So in a sense, though, we don't preach every day, 1 Corinthians 1, 18. Okay, the cross. But somehow the message we preach, it carries that principle. You understand? Where now the worship team is, you don't sing anything. First, sing for the Lord. Don't just bring songs just to make people dance and what? Get excited. But sing so that God can be pleased, so that his presence can come, You understand? So, you now will say, you don't have to sing for, remember, for the Lord. So it means that you're not singing for you, you're not singing for the crowd, but you're singing for the Lord. Do you understand? So it's my opinion that to a degree, I think as a church, we're doing well. Glory be to God. Amen. I want money, so I've sacrificed getting it from you. Okay. You know, by playing tricks on your heads. Okay. That's a sacrifice. You know, Everyone wants money. There's no one who doesn't want money. And all people want a lot of money. Okay? But I've sacrificed what? Getting that a lot of money from you. Okay? By, anyway, you understand. Of course, that's a joke, you know. But what I'm saying is, I think most of you who are living with this mindset of this, you know, Jesus is coming back, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, okay? So you know now, it is not about me, I have to live, whatever I want to do, I have to ask God, okay? So in a sense, you're actually living the life of the cross. Glory be to God. And for that matter, this teaching, you know, you shouldn't feel condemned, okay? Because already you are in the right what? Direction. Glory be to God. Amen? Amen? No man coming all the way. Hey man, I realize that you stay very far. Ruzira. You know? I've been to your home once. Ruzira. So when I learned that, man, this guy come, and you know how many churches you pass? There's so many churches on that road. Because you come from Ruzira, then there's Butavika, then Kitintale, then Bugos, then Nakawa, Ntinda, Bukoto. You know, there are like more than 100 churches. And someone come in. Now, that's a sacrifice. I'm telling you. Those things, you come, you have to be at 9 to practice. You know, on Saturday. Now, that is the life of what? Meanwhile, you're not being paid. There's nothing where you're doing those things, and you know that what? 500 thou on the house. But you're not being paid. So you cough your own money to come and produce the best. That's a life of sacrifice. Glory be to God. Now, what God wants us to do is to remain on track and actually to even what? Get better and better and better. Such a life, okay, gives you the power to transform hearts. And when you transform hearts, you change lives. Because all issues of life spring from the heart. All right? They spring from the heart. Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. That is all we had for today. But maybe let me just read a few things here. Two lines. Page 52. Page 52. Paragraph 4. You're there? There's a paragraph which starts by the more influence you gain. You have seen it? Then there's a sentence there which says, if you preach the greatest truth but do not live them, you are only the greatest hypocrite and the most tormented soul. You seen it, John? Okay. So in order to us to have the power to transform, to change hearts, okay, you must also be living what you're preaching. Okay, otherwise, your words will be devoid of power. You remember? That's what I told you. When I used to preach those things of prosperity and giving, I was like, I'm not preaching what I don't do. That's why you can see it had that power to change lives. And many years, well, not many, but years later, they would find me somewhere and they thank me. Say, man, you changed, you blessed us so much. Our lives have been changed by your giving thing and we did it. And now, our lives have become better as far as finances are concerned. So he says that if you preach the greatest truth, that means that you can be the best preacher. You understand? We're coming preaching, man, you're invited everywhere. You have the deep, the Greek, the what? Okay. And you're not only eloquent, but even when the things that you preach are man, like real substance. Okay? But it says, if you don't live what you're preaching, lives don't get changed. So that means that it is, these things of preaching, it is more than that. It is more than eloquence. It is more than knowledge. But it's also about motives and whether you actually, you yourself, whether you actually live, you practice what you're talking about. Okay? Then let's go to paragraph 8, 52 again. Okay? It starts with the famous reformer. Okay? And that famous reformer tells Joiner that do not try to teach others to do what you yourself are not doing. And it goes on and on. Glory be to God. Amen? Are you equipped to change hearts? Yes, you are. Okay? Just continue living the life of the cross, the life of sacrifice, the life of dying to your own desires, for the purposes of pleasing the Lord and being a blessing to other people. He says that life, is the power of God. The message of the cross, the life of the cross, it is the power of God to change hearts. Glory be to God.